podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey there, this is Chris, and welcome to episode 13 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. I hope everybody's having a great week. I know I am a little tired, had a busy week, it was all out this week. So I got a good interview for you with Dave Dunham. He's a great guy, local mountain runner extraordinaire, and I'll get that up today. And like I said, a little low energy, so you see if you can hear my brain not working in the interview. So that was that same morning. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning for a conference call with South Korea, and I had my team, the people who work for me, in the office all week. So, and I did some travel this week as well, so I was a little sleep deprived, and sometimes my brain doesn't work as well that way. But in terms of running, it was a pretty easy week after I cleaned up my 30 miler over the weekend. I changed my schedule. Instead of doing those long back-to-back days, I just did a 5-hour run on Saturday and then a cool down of like 4 or 5 miles on Sunday. I think that's going to work better for me. I didn't like those back-to-back runs. And this weekend is an easy week for me. My schedule has me doing a couple of 2-hour runs. And this week I had to move my runs around, but I got them all in. I did my schedule calls for me to run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with this ultra training. But, you know, here's a bonus tip for you. You don't have to do that. If you want, you can move your stuff around. It's not going to kill you. So I ran Monday, knowing I was going to be busy. I ran Monday. I ran Wednesday, and it's Friday now, so I'll run tonight too. So I still get my miles in, especially on an easy week. It doesn't make that much difference if you move them around a little bit. You can be flexible. So anyhow, that's all good. Wrote a great blog. It's going to be up on the site this week. It's on the. I went into the analytics on my website and looked at some of the search phrases people use and hit my site, and there were some pretty funny things. Things like naked beach running and this sort of stuff. So I wrote a blog about it. I think you'll like that. That's at runrunlib.com. And what else is going on? I'm going to shorten up my intro so you don't have to listen to the same thing over and over and over again. I'll move that administrative stuff to the back so you have to listen to it at the end and not the front. And so you can just fast-forward through it. And also, I think I've been having some trouble uploading some of my podcasts. A couple of them I noticed when they got up to iTunes, they weren't all there. Only like half of the podcast made it. So if some of the episodes seem a little short or non-sequitorial, I just made that word up, you may want to go back and reload them. I found that I had some technical issues. It seems that maybe my FTP screwed up the MP3 on the upload to the ASP. It might have been the IIP, the HTTP, or simply the TCP/IP, or maybe someone slipped me some THC or some PCP. But whatever it was, if you're not getting it all, go back and reload. And it looked to be episodes 2, 6, and 11. So, got some great stuff for you here. On with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Hey, this is Chris. This is getting ready to go for a run with my friend, the Fur Boy. But I figured I'd give you an update on part two of the Soul Odor Control shoe test. My wife had dug up this product somewhere when she was cleaning, and I gave my trail shoes three treatments of the Soul Odor Control. And it was very intriguing because they said it eradicated all odors in the sports shoes. But clearly, they did not have the Chris Runner trail shoes on a hot, humid summer in mind when they made these product claims. I would say, on a whole, that it reduced the no-walk zone around my trail shoes from 10 meters to maybe 8 meters, but there certainly is no eradication and no minty freshness involved there. The awesomely powerful, malodorous, odoriferous scents still clear Hawaii SWAT. So it smells nice, but clearly not designed for the active Ultra Dad. All right, so there you go, Soul Odor Control. We'd have to call this one busted, as they say on the Discovery Channel.
And now for our featured interview.
Yeah, there we go.
All righty.
So last week I was on the phone with Dave McGilvery.
Oh, sure.
And I screwed up the recording, so I talked to him for like a half an hour, and we had a great talk, and I screwed it up. Have to do it again.
Nice.
So, yeah, how's your first thing? You know, how's your injury, man? Did you get that checked out?
Yeah, I did. The MRI came back negative for stress fracture, which is good.
Yay!
Yeah, so I was able to start running again after just missing a couple days.
So yeah.
It looks muscular.
Some sort of muscle pull in the lower back?
Yeah, strained muscles in the lower back and a little problem with the SI joint.
Yeah.
But I have a history of stress fractures, so I wanted to double-check and make sure I was okay.
So I ran my first Mount Washington road race this year.
What'd you think?
Or I should say I ran some of my first, right? Actually, it was a blast.
Good.
And I'm one of those people who always said I'll never run that because I have no desire to put myself through that. But it was a blast. I had fun training for it, and we got such a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome. And I did last year I did the whole Mountain Goat series.
Okay.
With you guys in 2007. So
you were a Mountain Goat. You got in via that?
Yep.
We had another 60 runners do that again this year.
So is that less or more than 07?
It's almost exactly the same.
So, okay. A lot of the same people probably.
About half, yeah. And about half were first-timers.
Right. So the way that works is there's a series of six races. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's, what are the six races?
Wachusett Mountain.
Right.
In Westminster, Mass. Then
right.
Pac-Monadnock, which
yep.
is in Wilton, New Hampshire.
Yep.
And then my race that I put on in Northfield, at Northfield Mountain.
Right, which is, I thought that was the best one.
I like that one, but I'm a little biased.
It was almost like a high school cross-country race for me.
That's kind of what I call it, like a really difficult cross-country course.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can really run fast. The mile from 5 to 6, 2 years ago, Dmitry Drozdov ran under 4:15 for that mile.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly, and that was the same thing I found, because I'm a big guy. I don't like running uphill, but I love running downhill.
But gravity's your friend.
Yeah, it was like free fall, and with the soft surface, you know, it didn't hurt. So
exactly.
So that was the only race I managed to beat Tom Parker at.
He's hardcore. He's been out there plugging away at the series for years now.
I know.
He's one of the leaders in the most appearances over the history of the series.
Yep. And I remember I pulled up next to him on Washington this year, and I said, "Tom, are you gonna run the whole way?" Because he had this like pace. He didn't like walk run. He just had a pace he was running.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He looked at me and said, "I don't know."
An honest answer.
Yeah. So that's pretty funny. He always beats me though on the uphills.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what so then there's Cranmore, Looney, and
yep.
Scutney.
Yep, yep.
Right. And you guys changed the course on Cranmore this year, right?
Yeah, it's basically changed every year. Last year it was a three loop, probably the most difficult course I've ever done.
Right.
And I beat you up.
Yeah, I heard you say that, and that made me feel better because I told people that was the most difficult race I had ever run in my life. And it wasn't really the uphills; it was those steep downhills on that sort of rough ski slope, double diamond going down there.
Yeah, where you can't even see where you're placing your feet. The
right.
grass is so deep. Very, very difficult. Very technical running.
Yep. So I was telling people I was walking into walls for about a week because
well,
my quads were just gone.
The course is going to change again back to something like that next year. It's going to be the national championship again for mountain running, and it'll be a qualifier for the World Trophy. for the U.S., you know, to make the U.S. team. So once they decide on what the World Trophy course is going to look like, Paul is going to create a course at Cranmore that mirrors that as closely as possible.
Right.
So it could be a three-looper again.
Yeah. So, but you have all different. You have the when I was there with the championship, you had the younger kids, right? It was like a there was different things. It was the
right.
Did it once. The women did it twice.
Right. Junior girls did it one loop. Junior boys and women did two loops, and senior men, open men, did the three loops, which is what they do at the World Trophy.
Right. And I remember, I think you guys lapped me, or somebody, whoever the leaders were, you guys lapped me on the second downhill. And,
yeah, made for some interesting running.
And it was crazy, because you guys are going, like, you know, 90 miles an hour, and he's like, get out of the way, get out of the way.
Yeah, if you zig when someone zags, there could be a collision.
Yeah, it was nuts. But it was great. That's, you know, I learned so much running the mountains last year. It was great. So it's great that you guys put that stuff on and you guys shepherd that through every year.
It's something we all enjoy, you know.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for I think I saw that you had something like 700 peaks or something on some website I was looking at.
Oh, Peak Bagger.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I started using that a year or so ago. I'm recording all my mountains that I've been up, and most of them for me are runs. I've only recently started doing any kind of hiking.
Yeah. Did you ever gone over to Europe and run the mountain races over in Europe?
Oh yeah. From 93 and actually 92 until 2000, I was on the U.S. mountain running team. So I'd go over there for a couple of weeks every summer and do a few mountain races and do the World Trophy.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A lot of fun.
You grew up around here, right? You grew up in what, Bradford?
Well, I'm from Billerica.
You're from Billerica, okay.
I live in Bradford now.
Okay.
But yep, I went to high school in Billerica High.
Yeah.
And then I went to college at what's now UMass Lowell.
So you went to U-Lowell.
U-Lowell, exactly.
Yeah, I got one of my degrees from U-Lowell.
Cool.
You're on the cross-country team at U-Lowell?
Yep, cross-country and track and field.
Yeah, they got a pretty strong team.
Great program there.
Considering the size of the school, they got a very strong team.
Yep, very good Division II school.
Yep, and then if I remember correctly, I mean, I haven't studied up, but if I remember correctly, you've made a couple of runs at some marathons.
I've done some marathoning.
But did you go to the trials?
I made the I qualified for the trials twice, and
yeah.
I went in 1992 and finished 20th.
Yeah, because, you know, you and I have probably run 50 races together, the difference being you came in first or second, and I did not. Some of those memorable races, like that one we ran up at Derry in the snowstorm, remember that?
Oh, yeah, the Boston Prep 16-miler.
Yeah, and you guys still managed to crank off sub-sixes in 4 inches of snow.
Yeah, that's a classic, that race. Tough enough without the weather.
Yeah, I think I remember you winning Bay State as well.
Bay State. I haven't been there in 10 years. I'm going back this year.
Are you? Going to run the new course?
I'm going to run the new course. Yep, I still have the course record there. 221 back in 1998 where I qualified for the Olympic trials.
Yep, I think I ran that race, quote-unquote, with you as well. I might have run a 309 there.
That was a hot day that day.
Yeah, actually, I think I DNF'd that day. I hit the halfway point and said, this is too hot. I'm going to run Cape Cod instead.
Good. Sometimes that's the wise move.
But, yeah, and you also do, I think I was hearing from, you know Ted McMahon?
Yeah, sure. He used to run for CMS.
Yeah, he was saying you and he do some of those crazy snowshoe races, too.
Oh, definitely.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I actually I host two snowshoe races at Northfield. And I put on a couple other snowshoe races as well, and yeah, I race every year. I was the New England series winner this year. The Western Mass Athletic Club puts on a series. We're up to like 20 races, and it's sometimes two races a weekend. It's pretty crazy. It's great stuff. It's really tough aerobic work, but it does
the
job because you don't have the pounding.
Right, but it's a lot. It's a lot more work. You're burning a lot more calories.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pulling the shoes behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of a running analog, just like mountain running, sort of a running
sure.
approximation.
Sure. And you come out of it stronger but not beat up.
Right. And you hold the course record for the old Groton Road Race course as well.
That's yeah, awesome. I got a lot of records and courses that are no longer being used.
I think you used to go down and run the our competitor's race there, the James Joyce, and then get in the car and drive up and run ours.
I did do that one a couple times, and that is tough.
Did you ever win both races?
Never won both races.
Oh.
No. The best I did was a second at James Joyce, got in the car, and then I think I was third at Groton that same morning.
That's awesome. So what do you got coming up? I mean, you race every weekend.
Yeah, I try to. I'm going to be doing the USATF 10-mile championships tonight in Newburyport, the Yankee okay. homecoming race.
Sure, yeah.
I'm hoping my back will hold up. And then, like, 10 days from now is the Bridge of Flowers race, which that's the 10K championships.
That's the one with the hill.
That's the one with the big hill, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've never run that race.
I haven't done it in about 10 years, so I'm looking forward to going back.
I think the hill's right at, is it right at the end?
It's between 2 and 3.
It's between 2 and 3, yeah, but yeah. It's like a monster hill, because they're always I get their emails, and they're always talking about that sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it's kind of like a selling point that, you know, we have this monster hill that you can survive, maybe.
Right. I also, last year when I was doing the Mountain Series, I got your book, and I read your Mount Washington book.
Cool.
The only one hill book.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed writing it. It was a lot of fun. I spent a few years doing that, doing the research, and then compiling it. And it's something. It's my favorite race, and just really
right.
enjoyed getting into the history of it, interviewing people, and things like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. You know?
Yeah,
people have been running up Mount Washington since, the 40s or something?
Yeah, the 30s.
Pretty outstanding, and there's a couple of good stories in there. Like, I wanted more backstory, though, and less statistics, so Dave, give us the backstory, you know?
Yeah.
A couple of good stories you told. One was the one where the guy goes, if there was another mile, I could have taken you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we still use that one. Yeah, if it had been 10 miles more, I would have taken you, or... You know, if it had been a 400 on the track, I would have beaten you. I mean, that's just one of the most ridiculous statements. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and then the other one was when the guy you're running in the storm, and the guy says, "Hey, this sucks," and you go, "Nah, it blows."
Exactly. Yeah, that was Eddie Hellebuck, and he was a little guy. He shouldn't have been affected by the wind. Actually, my favorite quote still is one of my friends. His wife was driving up, and he was heading out for a warm-up, and a big group of us was going out, and his wife yelled out the car window as she's driving up, "Don't embarrass me." I don't think he did, but it was pretty funny.
Well, I ran down this year, too.
I always recommend that.
And
did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. It was maybe two more miles than I needed to put on my quads.
Exactly. If there was some way to run down just to halfway...
Yeah,
because you get the views and everything, and then, okay, get a ride from below tree line. That'd be awesome.
Right, exactly. But it was interesting. Like I said, it was a great day. I really enjoyed myself.
Beautiful day.
So I would recommend that if people want to get in the lottery for Mount Washington. How many people did you have this year, like 900? What's the cap?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the total is. It was around 900 finishers. I think about 1,100 get in through the lottery because he knows exactly how many people are going to be injured or not show up in any given year.
Right.
So
the forecast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you can only get so many cars at the summit. You know, they can only let so many people in.
Right. So who won the race this year? I wasn't even paying attention.
This year it was Eric Blake. He's
okay.
from Connecticut. And actually the top... Six out of the top seven made the U.S. mountain running team eventually. They just named the team today. And all of the guys in the top seven made it. One of the guys, the guy who finished second, Clint Wells, he declined the spot. So it's probably the strongest U.S. mountain running team that's ever been selected. And the field was the strongest ever at Mount Washington.
What kind of pace did Eric put in?
Uh, pace, I'm not so sure of. But
what did he do?
He ran just over an hour, like an hour and 40, an hour and 40 seconds.
Right.
And that's one of the all-time fast times. Anytime you're under 101, you're in pretty rare company.
Yeah, I remember reading your book where the big push was to break an hour.
Mm. Yeah.
And I remember some other story about you, which I don't even know. It was in the book where the Kenyan showed up and you won the race and beat you, but you kept running and ran all the way to the top of the rock. Say, yeah, you may have won the race, but I'm the first one to the top of the mountain.
I always go to the top. It is true. Yeah. Yeah, that really happened. I go to the summit every year. And now there's a couple guys who wait for me because I'm a little bit slower now, and they go to the summit with me. So it's kind of a cool tradition.
So what are your plans for the future here how long before you get into a new age category?
Well, once you're a master over age of 40, they start going 5-year age groups.
Right.
So I'm 8 months away from becoming 45.
Oh,
so I'll be in
cool.
the new age group then. And I might do some indoor track stuff. I turn just before the indoor nationals, so I might take a shot at running the 3,000 indoors.
Yeah, I turned 45 last year. And,
yeah.
You know, I thought it was pretty cool. The marathon gave me another 10 minutes. I was like, wow, that's
exactly.
Great.
It's kind of like a new life.
Yeah.
Like 5 years.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So you're probably one of the most compulsive runners that I know. Why do you do it all? I mean, especially for you, you're putting in, you know, hundreds of miles a week.
I just really enjoy running, you know.
Yeah.
I run at lunch, and, during the day, I kind of look forward to that break. And I've had the break, and I'm kind of recharged after I run. And, I only have a few hours of work left at that point, so the day goes by really fast. And then in the afternoon, I run with my training partner, Dan Varrington.
Yep.
And we do like an hour in the afternoon, and it's kind of just, you know, the set way of things. This is what I do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's part of your rhythm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Dan from the Bradford Valentine's Day race.
Sure, yeah.
There you go. That's a race that 2 years in a row now I've shown up at either the wrong time or the wrong day.
Classic mistake.
You show up on a Sunday for a Saturday race. Where is everybody? Where are the stones?
Better to show up a day early than a day late.
Yeah. What are the races you got in your calendar coming up?
Well, hopefully, you know, everything always hinges on staying healthy or getting healthy or whatever. Looking at the Linwoods Relay in August.
Okay.
And we're going to take a shot at the Masters record.
All
it's
right.
A 4x2.5 miles, and I'm actually on the open team record from back in 1992, and I'm about 2 minutes slower for 2.5 miles, but we have a really solid team, Dan Varrington, me, Joe Shares, who just turned 40, and Dave Quintal, my teammate from college, who's been duking it out with me all this year.
Yeah.
And we have a real good shot at breaking the record if we can all show up healthy, so...
Yeah.
That's one of the plans.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I think in the old days it was just assumed that as you got older you got really slower, but you really don't have to anymore.
Sure.
For some reason, everybody seems to be running. I know a lot of guys who actually run faster in their 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially for distance, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's interesting.
It's better training methods, I think, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So, I mean, you guys... you know, I know for me, I have the running community around here is really strong, right? I mean, we do all the stuff with the clubs and the Mill City Relay and all that stuff, and, you know, that for me in the mid-pack. What's the difference? What's the running community like at the, you know, at the elite level where you're at?
Well, I'm not really at the elite level.
Yeah.
I remember sort of being there. I don't know. I mean, it's for us, it's a social thing as well. I mean, I really enjoy... you know, meeting up with the guys and going for a run. We usually have a long run on one of the weekend days, and there'll be, you know, 4 to 10 guys showing up, going out together and just having a good time, you know, doing our runs.
Yeah, so it's the same community, just different pace.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, man. I'll let you get back to work.
Thanks.
thanks for coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, it's been nice chatting with you.
Yeah, one of the other things that I always heard when I said, when I first started running around here, and people go, oh, that there goes Dave Dunham. And they go, well, he's a wicked nice guy, would always be their next sentence. You can take some pleasure in that.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah. So we'll see you out there.
You bet.
And I'll say hi next time we run across each other at Stew's or something.
Yeah, please do.
All right.
All right, take care.
See ya.
Bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, welcome to Quick Tip. I've got some great advice for you here, and my advice is to cultivate old towels. So this time of year, you're always perspiring, shall we say, and it's good to have a stable, a closet full of old towels you don't care about. Because if you try to use your significant other's special clean towels, they'll get upset. So you want to get some old towels. Now, I got some tips for you where to find some old towels. You say, Chris, where do I find old towels? Well, first of all, if you're not totally cheap, you can just go over to your favorite large store like Target or Walmart and pick them up for about $10 a piece, those big fluffy towels. Wash them a couple times, they'll be fine. You can go to your local gym if you're going to a workout or a club. And typically they go through and they clean out the lockers every once in a while, and they end up with a big pile of old towels. And you can take those. Take them home, wash them, you got yourself a stable of old towels, big pile of old towels. Other thing you can do is you have, somebody who works in a hotel or a motel or a Holiday Inn, you know, get some of those white towels with the stripe down the middle, and they're great. You don't care if they're worn out because all you're doing is drying yourself off. You can put them on the seat of your truck. You can take them with you to your workout. You can dry off the dog with them and not have to worry about wrecking them. And if you do wreck them, great. You can tear them up and use them as rags to wash your car. So there's my tip for you today. Go and get yourself some big, old, fluffy, old towels. Best thing for a runner. And you can use them for stretching as well. If you get an old towel, you can use that as part of your stretching routine. Loop it around something, loop it around your toe and pull. Old towels are one of the best things in this universe. See ya. Okay, that's it. This is Chris. Another episode 13, lucky number 13 in the can. Runaway ahead of schedule. Good time here. Next week, what are we going to do next week? Got a bunch of people I can interview. We'll see who steps up. I was going to talk with maybe the Ultra Dad from the Ultra Dad podcast because I wanted to ask him some ultra training questions. But I got to coordinate with him because he's in a different time zone. I got the race director from the Vermont 50 said he'd talk to me. And a couple other great people. I'm blessed to have so many interesting people to talk to. We definitely have an interesting community here. You want to reach out to me, you can go to my website, runrunlive.com, all one word. You want to leave me a comment, 206-339-7804. Zap me an email, chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. Go to iTunes, vote for me. I think all us podcasters, me and Steve and Ultra Dad and Nigel, we should put together a relay team and maybe do the Ragnar Relay or the Reach the Beach or something. I think that would be a hoot. We could definitely get somebody to sponsor it, you know? So and I know the guys over at Ragnar. I did some work for them, so... So anyhow, look forward to seeing you again next week. You guys have a great weekend, and enjoy your runs. And anybody has any questions, they can reach out to me. I'm having a blast. I'm loving life. For music today, I got a couple of songs for you. I had the Bumper Girl help me do some selection, so some of these were a little weird. I picked one to get this this teenage thing going here. She picked. It's called Please Kill Me by American Heartbreak. It seems like a reasonable song, even though it's a little dark in its titling. And I picked another one, which I'm going to put on first, which I really liked. And she didn't have anything to do with this one. It's called The Crippled Heart Blues by Lana Martino Smith. Excellent voice in this lady. Really sings the blues well. I really like this one. So without further ado, I will see you out there, my friends. Like it.
can tell what's on your mind. But I know you cripple me before I am held the strength to say goodbye. Well, I know you, 'cause I've been down that road before, and if I touch you,